You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
It's estimated that Americans bite dogs at the rate of over 7 billion times between Memorial Day and Labor Day, with the highest concentration being in the month of July. Those statistics may seem alarming, and they've been compiled by a very reputable organization, the National Hot Dog and Sausage Council. Every year, Americans eat an average of 60 hot dogs, and not all of those are consumed at Costco. Though dogs have been deemed to be one of our dearest companions, it's been estimated that dogs will bite man and woman, and too often children, 4.5 million times a year. Are they all bad dogs? Were they mistreated as pups? What do we do to aggravate the situation? My guest is Dr. Jose Arce. He is a delegate of the American Veterinary Medical Association's House of Delegates, representing Puerto Rico, where he is co-owner of Miramar Animal Hospital. We'll be right back after this short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Tired of wasting money on giant boxes of litter that don't work and don't last? Switch to World's Best Cat Litter, the only litter with concentrated power. So even a small bag lasts one cat 30 days. Outstanding odor control, quick clumping, lightweight. It's even flushable. World's Best Cat Litter. Everything else is just litter. Find it near you at www.itsnotjustlitter.com. That's www.itsnotjustlitter.com.
Amazing Pet Expos is coming to a city near you. Admission is always free, and your pet is welcome. Shopping, adoptions, free nail trims, discounted shots and microchipping, agility, a pet costume contest, and much more. Plus, meet the guys from Animal Planet's hit TV series Tank and Pit Boss. Online at AmazingPetExpos.com.
Bring your pets to the Pet Expo.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Dr. Arce, thank you very much for being with us today. This is a subject that I know you and I see too often.
Good morning, Bernadine, definitely. And responsible pet ownership is the foundation for preventing this. There's a lot of things we can do to help minimize these numbers, and we can do it together by becoming responsible pet owners.
What do you call being a responsible pet owner?
It starts even before you get a pet. Don't get a puppy on an impulse. Think about your lifestyle. Think about where you live, whether you live in an apartment, whether you live in a big house with a yard. Carefully select your pet. And, you know, you can find information about the behavior of a pet or of a breed and see if that suits your lifestyle. After you get a puppy, make sure your pet socializes as a puppy. Take it to train. A basic training class is great. We don't want the dog to learn, you know, big tricks like, you know, pretend to be there and stuff like that. But just a basic stay, go, come, things like that will help a lot. Socialize your pet and feel comfortable around people.
I think that's so important, because so many times people will get a puppy and it might be this huge dog and they're living in a small apartment or a condo. It's like, really? Did you think this was a good idea? You know, I love people that live in New York. You know, they want to have a Great Pyrenees and they live in a small walk-up. It's like, okay, I guess you thought that was a good idea. But especially saying getting them socialized. People will take that puppy to a puppy class. but then they never go back again. And I tell people it's somewhat like having a child. You send it to kindergarten, but that's the end of its education. It seems like it really needs to be an ongoing process.
It is an ongoing process. And we also have to teach our children how to be around dogs, how to approach them, how to even, ask permission from the owner of a pet before you go and pet them. Most dogs don't bite because they're born aggressive. They bite because they're reacting to a situation. They're reacting to you coming to their premises or you coming near their puppies or their food or even their favorite toy. So teaching children when to ask, come and say hi to a dog and not to reach over a fence to pet a dog. Ask the owner of the dog, is it okay for me to pet your dog? Basic things like that will help prevent these dog bites.
Dr. Arce, you're so correct. I know you and I, being veterinarians and seeing these dogs come into our exam rooms, they look so cute and so innocent, and you want to go over and just love them all and reach over. And oftentimes, I'm glad when a client will oftentimes tell me beforehand, oh, this dog bites, versus I'm in the middle of an examination trying to look at its teeth and it starts to growl and I have to back up very quickly going, oh, yes, it doesn't like that. So, yes, sometimes I forget. I need to ask permission of what does your dog like and doesn't like before I put myself in harm's way. Have you had the same situation happen to you?
Oh, definitely. And I use this example of an ear infection. I've had some of my patients that I've known for maybe 10 years. And one day they come to the clinic and I go to pet them like I always do, because they're dogs that I've known for such a long time that they used to being with me. And I go to pet them over the face and they react and try to snap at me. And it's because they have an ear infection. I didn't know exactly why they were coming. I didn't do my homework before I went to the exam room and check, hey, it's here for an ear infection. So I went to approach and pet its head, and I went towards the ear and the dog tried to snap at me. And it's something simple as that where they would react because they're hurting, because they're in pain. So it might be a dog that I've known for a long time. You might react in a certain instance because of something that's painful or something that's happening to them.
It's so devastating because a bite can just be minimal. I know you and I have both been bitten by dogs, and oftentimes it is just a warning bite, but some of these bites can be devastating. We know the last thing that I saw was back in 2006, 31,000 people in that year underwent reconstructive surgery as a result of being bitten by a dog. So some of these bites can just be horrid.
Definitely. And like you mentioned earlier, 4.5 million Americans in the U.S. are bitten by dogs. And almost one of every five of those require medical attention. Every year, more than 800,000 Americans have to go to the hospital because of dog bites. And at least of half of them are children.
Why do you think children are so much more prone? Are they just not listening to their parents or haven't been educated? Why do you think children are so prone?
I think it's a combination of both of those things. I think most dog bites affect young children because they're interacting with dogs without being supervised. Many of these dogs are their family's dogs or their neighbor's dog. It's not a stranger's dog. Mm. It's not a dog that runs in the street and goes after them. It's their own house's dog or their neighbor's dog. So I think it's preventing that adults need to understand that they never need to leave a baby or a small child alone with the dog. If you're not able to supervise directly, don't let that situation happen. Be alert for potential dangerous situations. And teach your children, including toddlers, to be careful around pets.
It's so hard to get those young children, they may have had the golden retriever that was the firstborn child, and then they have the human child, and that baby, everything was fine when it was, a swaddler, and it was just being loved, and now it's starting to crawl. And I think we've all been parents, grandparents, aunties, uncles, whatever, and you have this child that doesn't really know fine motor skills, so it goes to love the dog or the cat or you and I, and it just kind of smacks and pulls hair. And if you're a dog, it's like, yeah, I'm going to be biting you back. Thank you.
Exactly. That's why it's so important for the adults to be responsible, because when a child is a little older, then we can teach him a little bit. We can teach him about reading the basic body language of a dog, some of the signs that they might give us before they bite, such as their ears being tucked back or their body's becoming stiff or their pupils become dilated, so they can see those things. But the toddlers and the babies are not able to recognize those things. So it's up to the owners of the dog, to the adults, to be careful and avoid those situations.
I love some of the statistics that I've read that, or I don't love it, but it's interesting that children, especially between the ages of 5 to 9, seem to be most likely to be bitten than adult males versus females. And I think that's because sometimes you get that bravado going on where it's like, yeah, I can roughhouse with this dog. And I've had many times when I've told a client, this is a dog that tends to be fearful. Don't do this, or, you know, don't touch its paws. Ah, I can touch its paws. I've had a dog for years. And they go to play with the paws or trim the nails, and the dog just nails them. And it's like, duh, I told you, don't do that. And then it seems like people with their dogs in their own homes, as you were saying, I think most people think that it's the stranger dog that they don't know that's being the responsible one for the bite, but it's really dogs that you know.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, it's their own dog, and teaching very basic things to some of these kids at that age will understand, and just tell them, never pull your dog's ear or climb on or try to ride your dog like it's a horse. Basic things like that will help prevent this bite. It's communicating to our children how to prevent these dog bites by simple things. You know, when they go to their crate, don't bother them. If they're eating, don't reach and try to pet them at that time. Things like that will go very far in preventing dog bites.
There are some great coloring books that I've seen in the past that are wonderful for children, where it really helps to explain on a child's level. I know the American Humane Society had a coloring book that was available, at least it was a couple of years ago, of kids interacting with dogs safely. Kids. And it's exactly what you were saying, Dr. Arce, that when that dog is eating, leave it alone, because would you want your little kid's sister or brother sticking their hand in your food? Like, no, this is my food. Or being bullied on the playground. You know, somebody wants to give you something and they keep taking it away from you. Or you have your lunch and that bully kid comes along and steals your lunch away from you. Or you're sleeping and your little brother or sister comes up and just keeps bugging you. Or the one, it's so hard for me. You see a dog with the windows kind of rolled down in the car and it's just looking so cute and looking so lonely. And you just want to go over and pet it. It's like, probably not the best idea.
No, that's the natural instinct. They look like a happy dog that's in a yard or in a car, like you just mentioned. And the natural instinct is to go try to pet them, you know, because they seem like a friendly dog. But you don't know how they're going to react. And just like any other relationship in life, the relationship with our pets is going to be based on respect and understanding. And knowing those boundaries and respecting those boundaries will help and avoid these dog bites. You mentioned some of the coloring books. At the AVMA, we have developed several videos, and we added 3 new videos this year.
Ooh, great.
And I think are both fun and educational for children. And you can go to the American Veterinary Medical Association website, avma.org, and look at those videos and show them to your kids. I think it's a great way for them to see something fun, but at the same time learn how to prevent these dog bites.
When a child is, you know, kids are so full of energy and they love running, etc. And I know once I was a child, I was walking to school and there was a dog that just came out of nowhere. I think it had slipped its leash from being at home or jumped a fence. And it was starting to chase me. And all I could do, I wanted to run. I wanted to run as fast as I could, getting away from this dog. And I remembered being taught by my parents, don't run. Just stand there. And that was one of the hardest things to do. Besides just standing there and acting like a tree, and the dog came up and it sniffed me. And about that time, the owner came in and got the dog. It's like, oh, I think I probably wet my pants. But what else can a child do or an adult can do if you're being chased by a dog? A dog's coming up and looking aggressive.
Okay, the first thing you said is perfect. Don't rush, never run past the dog. It's natural for dogs to chase and catch things, so don't give them a reason to become excited or aggressive. Stay calmly, never disturb them, when, like we said before, when they're eating or sleeping or eating. Never reach to a fence. If they approach you, stay still, let them sniff you. In most cases, the dog will just go away, and they'll see that you're not a threat to them. If you're threatened by a dog, then remain calm. I know it's hard, and the natural impulse is to start running, but don't do that. Don't scream or yell. If anything, speak calmly to the dog. Avoid direct eye contact. and try to stay still until the dog just leaves or the owner comes to you. Don't run and turn away, because that's probably worse. If you happen to fall or get knocked to the ground, just kind of curl into a ball with your hands over your head and neck and protect your face. But stay calm. I think the key is not to run, and stay calm and talk to the dog calmly, and things will be much better.
That's so easy to say now, and you're in the middle of it, and it's so hard to remember. I'm talking to Dr. Jose Arce. He is a member of the American Veterinary Medical Association and a representative for Puerto Rico at the House of Delegates. We're talking about dog bites and all the things that we can do to avoid them. And Dr. Arce, when we get back from this short break, I'd like to talk a little bit about those dogs that seem to be most responsible. Is there a particular breed? Should we have breed bans? We'll be right back after the short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Hi, Jill. I see you and Bella are enjoying this lovely day as well.
It's a perfect day for a walk. Isn't that right, Bella?
And what a colorful ID tag you have, Bella. It certainly puts my Rusty's boring engraved tag to shame.
Isn't it great? It's a dog tag art tag.
Dog tag art?
Yeah, dog tag art makes the world's coolest pet ID tags. Pick from hundreds of cute designs or upload your photos or artwork to create a unique tag of your own. They even give you 4 lines of text on the back of the tag for important contact information.
I love it! But do they hold up? We have to replace Rusty's metal tags so often because the information wears away.
Dog tag art tags are some of the highest quality pet tags out there. They're made with super durable stainless steel. Your information is always legible, and the tags are guaranteed for life.
Well, I'm sold. Where can I get my dog tag art tag for Rusty?
DogTagArt.com.
Sounds great! We can't wait to get online and get a tag of our own.
DogTagArt.com. We keep best friends together. Use the coupon code RADIO for a 25% discount off any tag.
It's DesignerPetSweaters.com. Hand-knitted designer sweaters for your precious pup or cool cat. Beautiful couture patterns for your pets, including custom-knitted formal wear, casual wear, yachting, and even sports-themed. Many designer pet sweaters include feathered tammy hats, top hats, and a lot of sparkle. Each sweater includes leg loops, front paw sleeves, and leash opening. Visit DesignerPetSweaters.com to order your 4-legged fashions today. Large or small, we fit them all. DesignerPetSweaters.com.
Active for Pets is a new wellness platform and app that helps pet parents save time and money on their vet bills. Stop paying for unnecessary vet treatments. Consult with a vet online. Get unlimited access to your pet's entire health history from any computer or smartphone with the Active for Pets app. Vaccinations, medications, test results, and more. Active for Pets gives you access to a team of expert vets for non-emergency care. Make an appointment before, during, or after office hours. Skip the waiting room and get a secure online vet consult on your schedule. Taking care of your pets is as easy as it gets with Active for Pets. Ready to try Active for Pets? Listeners get 40% off a 1-year membership. To get this great offer, use promo code PETLIFE on the sign-up page of active4pets.com. That's ACTIV, the number 4, PETS.com. Or call 888-512-2848.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Dr. Arce, this has really been, I think, a very interesting conversation, and hopefully parents with small children, in particular that 5 to 9-year-old, will really sit down, chat with them, maybe get one of the coloring books that you mentioned from the AVMA, so they can really make this kind of a learning, fun situation for them. But I know that here in the United States proper, and maybe even in Puerto Rico, that people try to ban certain breeds of dogs, saying, yes, you can't have Rottweilers, you can't have Pit Bulls, because those are the vicious dogs. What's the AVMA's stance on breed bans?
Yeah, I guess our stance is that any dog can bite. regardless of its breed. And more often, if people are bitten by dogs, they know. They're not bitten because of the breed. So the breed doesn't determine the risk. It's the dog behavior, its size, the number of dogs involved, and the vulnerability of the person bitten that determines whether or not a dog will cause a serious bite injury. Dogs can be aggressive, like I said, for all sorts of reasons. They can be aggressive because they're in pain, like I said before, because you're going into the area where they live and they feel threatened, or because they're agitated, or they feel frightened. But most dogs don't bite because they're born aggressive. They bite as a reaction to something. So I don't think the breed determines anything. I think some breeds become popular over time, like 70s and 80s were Dobermans and Rottweilers, maybe now Pitbulls, and there's a larger number of these breeds, and these breeds are, you know, bigger, stronger dogs that, even though, you know, there might be less cases with these breeds in numbers-wise, when they bite, it might cause more harm because they're stronger and bigger dogs, but the breed itself doesn't determine that they're going to bite. It's the situation that they're faced, it's how they're raised, and it's how the people that get beaten, what's the situation? Why did they get beaten? Did we go to their house? Did we approach them while they were eating or playing with their toys or something like this, like I mentioned before?
I found it interesting, some of the research that I've done in the past talking about the breeds that are most responsible for the dog bites. It was dachshunds, golden retrievers, and think, oh my goodness, you know, those are the super lovey dogs, and they can be Labradors, pit bulls, and then Yorkies. So you're right, even though those little ones, you know, they can't do tremendous amount of damage with a bite, it still hurts. It can still be very devastating, and it can still cause a lot of medical injury, especially if it's a small child and they're down there and they get bitten on their face. Oh my goodness, that's just terrible.
Yeah, one of the studies that we saw from the bites of the letter carriers is curious, because most of them get bitten on their ankles, which means it's the tiny dog that's biting most of the letter carriers. It's not the huge, you know, Rottweiler or the big people. It's the ankle biters that are getting them when they're approached their houses and they go in with the mail. So, you know, I think some of these breeds, you know, we have all of these breeds you just mentioned. They're some of the most popular breeds, so there's a larger number of these dogs, and that's why you're going to see more bites in numbers. But, you know, unfortunately, some of the more severe bites are going to be caused by some of the bigger, stronger breeds, but it's not the breed. I think it's the quantity of the dogs of the breeds, you know, are going to correlate with the number of bites that occur.
And I think it's awesome that most communities now seem to be getting away from the breed bans, because they seem to realize it's tantamount to racial profiling to say, oh yes, our Rottweilers are bad and, you know, all Chihuahuas are good. And honestly, I've run into more small breeds of dogs that I need to be cautious with versus the big ones. The big ones seem to say, okay, if you don't bother me, I'm not going to bother you. We'll have a detente and this will work okay. One of the things that always concerns me too is when a client comes in and their dog maybe has been bitten by another dog. And I say, well, have you contacted animal control? Or they were bitten or nipped at by the neighbor dog. I said, have you contacted animal control? Oh, no, I didn't want to do that because I don't want to cause problems. I didn't want to say anything. What are your views of staying quiet on situations like that?
No, I think you have to comply with the local ordinances regarding dog bites. Whatever is the law in your county, in your parish, in your state, in your city, you have to follow that. I think reporting is the key. We also need to have the data. I mean, a lot of people forget, but for everything that the government helps us with, we need data. They need the numbers. So even at something as basic here in Puerto Rico, for example, I think we have over 6,000 cases reported a year of dog bites. And that data is very important, because people that get bitten by dogs that were not vaccinated, the government provides, here in Puerto Rico, the health department provides free after exposure rabies vaccination for humans that get bitten. And data like this is important for the government to do their budget, on their annual budget. So there's many reasons why we should do it. One, because it's a responsible thing to do, because there's laws that tell us that we should do that. Second, because we need to have data like this to know how many bites there are, to help the government, you know, calculate, you know, what they need to budget next year. And because it's the law, basically, I guess is the most important reason.
I think also another reason why I think it's important for people to report dog bites is that, yes, you see a trend for that particular dog, but many times I think it's even more important to find the trend for the particular dog owner. That if that dog owner is irresponsible, maybe is breeding dogs or training dogs, I shouldn't even say breeding, but training dogs to be aggressive, then that is the real problem. It's not the dog, because as you mentioned, Dr. Arce, a aggressive dog can be a big dog, a little dog. It's those big ones that have the strength behind their bite to really cause problems. But so many times, it's the owner that really has to be addressed.
Well, unfortunately, it is. And that's a point that we need to emphasize. There's a reason why we license our dogs. It's not just because, you know, we want to put another charge in people's pockets. It's because we want to know the pets that are there, one, because we want to make sure that they're vaccinated against rabies, but also what you just mentioned, because we want to see what the trend is. Some of these dogs that are, you know, repeat offenders, then they need to have special classifications. In some states, they will require the owner to have a higher insurance in their own insurance package, just so that they can cover potential licenses. And in the future, some of these owners might not be allowed to adopt a dog, maybe in a shelter, or even to have a license, depending on where they live.
One of the things to kind of back up a little bit, Dr. Arce, you mentioned in the beginning of this conversation about socializing and training puppies. Puppies' teeth, and I've even had my own granddaughters as, you know, they're the toddlers and they're beginning to teeth. They'd like to chew on people. You know, it's like, ow, honey, you know, this is grandma. You don't chew on me. Thank you very much. And here you have this puppy who, as it was growing up with the mom and its litter mates, and they're tussling with each other and they're chewing on each other, you get that puppy home and the puppy goes, huh, well, I don't have a litter mate to chew on anymore, so your arm looks like a good alternative. I'll start chewing on your arm or chewing on your finger. And, oh, it's so cute. And it doesn't really hurt when they're puppies. Sometimes it does a little bit. What do you do for the teething puppy so it can still get the relief that it needs, but it doesn't learn to chew on you?
Good question. And here is where I think a combination of socializing the pet, providing toys is very important to some of these puppies, and not just one toy, provide a variety of toys so they can be active and playful and have things to do when you're not home or even when you're home and don't have time to be playing with them. Because sometimes we have a dog and we might be able to play with them, you know, for half an hour or twice a day, which is something that I really recommend, especially during this puppy age. Sometimes we're busy because we work at home or we're helping our children with homework or whatever. You know, have them something that where they can play and they can actually, you know, ease that teething like you mentioned. There's several months when those teeth are coming out and through the gums, it hurts. It's just like babies.
Mm-hmm.
And those toys help a lot. The training, the basic training, they'll help you a lot with that. But I think providing an environment, an enriched environment with toys, with time to play, socializing with other dogs and other people. If you have family members or friends, have them come over and get the dog to be accustomed to being with other people. And when it's starting to try to bite you, you know, just say a strong no. You don't have to hit them with a newspaper. You don't have to do anything like that. Just a strong no. And then when you see them playing with their toys, change your voice and go, good boy, and all those things like that. I think the positive reinforcement when they're doing the correct thing and a negative reinforcement, which is just a basic no, when they're trying to nip at your teeth, I mean, at your fingers, you know, it's very basic, but will go a long way in teaching them how they need to behave.
That's a great idea, because I always say, you know, it might be cute when they're a puppy, like, oh, it only goes, is it house trained? Oh, it only has a little accident in the house. It's like, a little accident now is a big pee puddle when it gets older. So no, don't let them get used to this. Don't let them chew on your hands. One of the inexpensive things that I use, and you're right, you know, you have to have a variety of different things, but that little mouth can be just so ouchy. Depending on the size of your pet, you may want to get something like a hand towel, a dish rag, wet it, tie it in a knot, throw it in the freezer, and then make sure that you're watching the dog so it doesn't try to chew off any of this. But being that cold, wet rag is like, oh, thank you. It feels so much better on the gums. And getting those safe toys for it to chew on. Dogs will eat just a plethora of things they're not supposed to. And it's amazing what a dog can ingest before you even know what they're doing.
Yeah, that's a great idea. It's kind of like some of those teething things that they have for babies, that you put them in their fridge and then you give them to the babies and they love them. So that's a great idea, Bernardine.
And it's cheap.
Another thing that I forgot to mention is avoid, you know, some of these rough games like wrestling or tug of war with your dog. That's encouraging them to bite. So that's even though it seems like a fun game, avoid those.
Good idea. And I think that's where men oftentimes get themselves bitten more frequently than adult women because, it is, fun. The dog likes to rough and tumble and roll, etc., except they don't always know who's the appropriate person to do that with. And sometimes they don't know their own strength when they get bigger. Dr. Arce, if you could kind of just reiterate all those various steps of, you said, getting that right breed, choose the right breed for your home situation. What are some of the other good tips for this responsible dog ownership and preventing dog bites?
Okay, definitely. Like I said, carefully select your pet. Think about your lifestyle, think about where you live. Have it socialized early in life. Train it. Basic training goes a long way. Keep your dog healthy. Make sure it's vaccinated against rabies and other preventable diseases, because sometimes dogs will bite because they're in pain. Make sure it's healthy. Make sure everything's okay with the dog. Neuter your pet. The studies that suggest that neuter dogs are less likely to bite. And the most important thing is be a responsible pet owner, whether it's licensing your dog, obeying leash laws. If you have a dog in the yard, make sure it's fenced and the gates are secure. And spend time with your dogs. I think this goes a long, long way. Socialize with them, have them be used to people. And a lot of these dog bites is prevention. If we cannot be with our children, never leave a baby or a toddler alone with the dog. If the postman or the mail carrier is coming in to deliver the mail, keep the dog inside. Go get the mail by yourself. Prevention is the key.
Dr. Arce, thank you so much. If people wanted more information, and you gave them some really good information in this conversation, where else can they go to learn more?
Oh, we have tons of information at the American Veterinary Medical Association website, which is, again, avma.org, avma.org.
Dr. Arce, thank you so much for being with us today. Do appreciate it, and thank you. You've been listening to Dr. Bernardine Cruz and Dr. Jose Arce. This is The Pet Doctor. Please tune in next week. We'll have more information on how to make you the best possible pet owner. Thanks for listening. Take care.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life because they're a member of the family. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernardine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.